Good morning. We welcome you to our Good Confession Sunday here and encouraging us all as we're doing this to remind you that this is not an examination to see if they're ready to be confirmed or not, but more of a review of what they've learned and a chance to share their faith. And if you are thinking, oh, like if someone makes a mistake or something, imagine yourself up there a little bit, right? And think of this as a review of your faith as well. It's a good chance for you to answer some of these questions in your mind. We won't be covering everything in the catechism, of course, right? To do that would take a long time. And also, we're going to base it off of how we've been doing the last few years of focusing on the mission of the church, of our church, and basing it off of that and going forward with that. And as I've told the kids, I'm probably more nervous than they are. Have I said that several times, right? That this is my first time doing this. So we'll have fun with this and know that it's just a chance to share our faith and to share what it means to be a Christian. With that, we'll start and just review what the mission of Morrison Zion is. What is the mission of Morrison Zion? And you guys were all raising your hand lots in practice, so we can do it. Do you have that, Caleb? Is that a half hand, right?
Our mission at Morrison Zion Lutheran Church is to glorify God as we gather around the gospel, grow with that gospel, and go to others with that gospel.
Okay. And so as we use that, we're going to use that as the basis for our questions going forward. Why do we glorify God? Who created everything, and why is this important?
God created everything, and it's important because we know we have a plan and a purpose.
Okay. He created everything. We have a plan and a purpose. Anyone want to add that?
He created everything perfectly and how he wanted it to be made.
Okay. He created everything perfectly, right? Very good. Good? Right? So we know we have a plan and purpose. If he created everything perfectly, he's wise, he loves us, and we always have a plan and a purpose. How is that different than, like, atheistic evolution? How do things change if one is to believe that? Lily?
That there is no purpose in life but to survive.
Okay. There's no purpose in life but to survive. Why might we say that? If you want to explain more or anyone else?
That's basically saying that we are an accident.
Okay, right? Atheistic evolution says we're an accident, right? So we have no purpose. It's just survival of the fittest to live for this life, right? Definitely it changes things. So if God created everything, though, why do we need Jesus? Why do we need a Savior? Okay, is it?
Hello? The devil brought sin into the world, so we would need a Savior to forgive us for our sins.
All right. So the devil brought sin into the world. Who's to blame? We said the devil. Anyone else to blame?
Eve.
Hey, Eve. Hey, we can say Eve and Adam, right? In what ways did the devil tempt Adam and Eve?
The devil tempted them to doubt God.
Okay, to doubt God. And
He tempted them to eat up the forbidden tree.
Okay, eat that forbidden tree. He doubted God. Anything specific about what he had, what the devil had him doubt? Clayton?
The devil made them doubt that if what God was saying was really true, or if they would really die if they ate the fruit.
Yeah, so get them to doubt God's word, right? You want to add more? You guys can just leave it on. Is it turning off?
So they also leave that they figure out that evil and true.
One more
true and evil.
Yeah, to doubt, right? To mistrust his word, mistrust his love, right? So they doubted God and his love. What are the consequences then of sin in our lives and in the world? Go ahead, John. You want to start?
We're born sinful, we suffer on earth, and we keep on sinning to this day.
Okay, we're born sinful, we suffer, we keep on sinning. Okay, and Bailey?
Eternal death.
Okay, and eternal death, we deserve that. What's the world like? We said suffering. Anything to add to that, Kylie?
We lost perfection.
We lost perfection, right? And so we experience pain and suffering in this world. Since this is true, what does that mean about me? How are we born with that sinful nature? What part can I play in coming to faith? Okay. Oh.
No part.
Okay. How might the second article, can you answer a little bit more on how that might?
Okay. I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father, and also man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and instant suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true.
Okay. So, as we see, this is what Jesus has done for us. This is how he's forgiven us. What does that mean? Do a lot of people believe that about Jesus, that he's our Savior, that he's God? What do a lot of religions believe? Macy.
He was just a good guy.
Okay, he's just a good guy. What else might they believe?
He is Lord, but he hasn't come yet.
Okay, maybe they don't believe that the Messiah has come yet, right? Okay.
That he's only man.
Okay, that he's only man. And really?
That he is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord.
Yeah, those are options that we have for who God is, right? That he's either this person who says he's God, and so he's crazy, or that he's lying, he actually misled people, or he's Lord. And many people doubt that, though, don't they? They don't believe he's God. But then why does he need to be true God? Click.
He needed to be a true God so that it would count for, that his death would count for everybody in the world of all time, and okay, so that he could also rise from the dead.
Okay, so he could count for the sins of everyone so that he could rise again. Anything else? Okay.
So he could be perfect.
So he could be perfect. Why did he need to be true man? Okay. Isaiah?
He needed to be true man so he could live and die in our place.
Okay, live and die in our place, and then... It's very good. And Lily?
So he could live under the law.
Okay, live under the law. In a Bible passage, do you have that Bible? Live under the law to redeem those under the law, right? Good. So to be man, to be in our place, to live under the law, to redeem those under the law, right? When we look at what he's done, we know that we need a Savior. We say, what is our spiritual situation when we are born? We kind of said this already, but...
We are dead in sin.
Okay, we're dead in sin. So why is this a unique view? How does this help us see the world and other people in a good way?
Okay. Mason? We are all equal.
Okay, in what way? Can you explain?
In sin.
All equal in sin? So what does that mean when I look at other people? Really?
That we are no better than them.
Okay, we're no better than them. Okay.
And this will lead us to humble ourselves to serve them.
Okay, that I can humble myself. My sin is no greater than myself. Is it that? You said that Taylor Swift, I'm the problem, right? That I'm not any greater than anyone else. What part does my faith play in then coming to faith if I'm dead in my sins? Right. Jonah?
None of it.
Okay. Do we have how does the creeds help answer that? Okay. Jonah?
I believe that I cannot by my own thinking or choosing believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives the sins of me and all believers, and on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead into everlasting life. This is most certainly true.
All right, very good. So, because of that, then, why do I want to glorify God? How does that lead me to glorify God? What?
We want to glorify him because he saved us.
Yeah, he saved us, right? He brings me to faith and saves me. What would we say is the goal of every Christian, then?
To glorify God in whatever we do.
Okay. So we glorify God in whatever we do. What does it mean to glorify God? Okay. Isaiah?
To put him first.
Okay, to put him first, right? To love him, to put him first in all things. How can I do that? In what places of my life can I glorify God? To Caleb.
We can do that in our vocations.
Okay, what are our vocations? Can someone explain? You want to explain more?
It's basically like if you're a student, a brother or sister, a friend, teacher, like whatever you do.
Okay, so all the places that God has put you in now and in the future, right? You can glorify God. How well do we do at glorifying God in those things? Okay.
Not very well.
Okay, not. Why is that? Why do we still struggle with that?
We're sinful.
Okay, we're sinful, right? We still have that sinful nature. In that, we see that we can glorify him and we have those vocations, but we still struggle with doing that. So do we need to glorify God, though? What?
Yes.
Why should we glorify God? What, Lily?
Out of love for him.
Okay, out of love for him. Do we need to follow the commandments? How could you summarize the Ten Commandments? Yeah, this one. Hey.
Okay. Out of love.
Out of love, right? The Ten Commandments are love, and then you could split it up even more, right?
The first three are love for God, and the last ones are love for our neighbor.
Yeah, right. Loving God and loving our neighbors. What do you think? If a Christian is really sorry for their sins and they're repentant of that sin, they won't do that sin again. Okay.
We can't promise that we won't do it again, but we'll try our hardest not to.
Okay, so we'll try to do that. What is involved in repentance? Yeah.
We ask for forgiveness of our sins.
Okay, ask for forgiveness of sins. Who do we put those sins on? Why do we do that, Isaiah? Sorry.
We lay our sins on God and hope that they're forgiven.
Okay, and know that they're forgiven. How is that different? Why do Christians repent opposed to like other people, non-Christians? Okay.
Because we have faith.
Okay, faith in what?
Jesus.
Okay, that Jesus died for those sins, right? So we know we can repent of those sins. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect in that. Would you say that repentance is an action or something that's done out of faith?
It's a function of faith that turns into an action.
All right, function that leads into action, that we want to live for Jesus, to go away from those sins. So would you say good works are necessary? Would you say hope?
Good works aren't necessary for our salvation, but we do them out of love for God.
Okay, good. So they're not necessary to save us, but we do them out of love. So as we know that that works in our faith, where do we grow in that? Why do we want to gather together as Christians? What happens when we're in church? What do we gather around? Jonah.
We gather around the gospel, and when we gather together, we can find our weaknesses in faith.
Okay, so we gather around the gospel. We can see those weaknesses. And then in that gospel, how does God give us that gospel? What specific things do we mention? Oh.
Through the word and sacraments.
Okay, through the word and sacraments. So we see that it encourages us, gives us that gospel message of faith. Right? When we gather around the Word, what are the two main teachings that we hear in the Word? Mitchell?
Law and Gospel.
Law and Gospel. Which would you say is more important, Law or Gospel? Yep. That's right.
The Gospel.
Okay, why do you say the Gospel?
Because, like, all of it basically, like, revolves around the gospel rather than the law.
Okay. So it revolves around the gospel. Where do you hear about the law? What other places function on the law? Isaiah?
We hear the law in school and work and in the commandments and Bible.
Okay. So in the rest of the world, we hear about that. Where do we only hear about the gospel?
In church.
All right, in church. And where else might you hear, too?
School.
School, okay. Whenever you're in God's Word, you hear that gospel message, right? Is the law still, we said the gospel is maybe more, is it important to have the law? What does each do? Caleb?
The law shows our need for a Savior, but the gospel shows us our Savior.
Okay, very good. In that, why do we want to encourage people to be in church? We said a little bit of that, but what attacks do we have on our faith? Kyle.
Sin, death, and the devil.
Okay, sin, the death, and the devil, right? So those things are attacking us. And we have one other thing out there, the world. Sin, death, and the devil, these things in the world, the culture, attack our faith. So we want to be in church. Especially in church, we have those sacraments. What makes up a sacrament?
Instituted by Jesus.
Okay, instituted by Jesus. Oh.
An earthly and a heavenly element.
Okay, earthly and a heavenly element.
It offers forgiveness of sins.
Okay, it offers forgiveness of sins. So that earthly element and the heavenly element connected to God's word gives that forgiveness of sins. In the Lord's Supper, what do we receive? What are the, not just the forgiveness, but what do we receive? Bailey.
Bread and wine and body and blood.
Bread and wine, body and blood. Why do we believe that there's body and blood in along with bread and wine? Jonah? Yeah.
Because God said so.
God says so in his word, right? So we believe this. We have Lord's Supper is along with baptism are those sacraments. Why we say baptism is for all nations? What do we say that the Lord's Supper is for?
The Lord's Supper is for repentant sinners.
Hey, repentant sinners? Hey, anything else? Lily?
Those who are prepared and know what it means.
Hey, those who prepared and know what it means. What else should I know about the Lord's Supper when I'm approaching? Okay. Go ahead, Kyle.
We know it's his body and blood.
His body and blood. That's what... Know what it means, right? Recognize it. Know it gives forgiveness. When we go to the Lord's Supper, who are we connected to? Click.
We are connected to God and also the people around us.
Okay, so vertically God and with others around us. How often should we receive the Lord's Supper? Oh.
As often as we're prepared.
Okay, as often as we're prepared. And what does Lord's Supper give us so that we maybe want to do it often?
Forgiveness of sins.
Forgiveness of sins. How often do you sin?
Multiple times a day.
All the time. So it's good to receive it very often, right? So then, when we are growing in that word, why do we want to focus not just on being a disciple, but also discipleship?
Because once we're confirmed, we can say we're done with Jesus and we're a disciple, but discipleship is still learning about Jesus.
All right, so we want to continue to learn, right? What are some parts of being a disciple to continue in discipleship? Lily?
Self-denial and cross-carrying.
Okay, to carry your cross. We talked about that in our the church today. Isaiah?
Creating more disciples.
Okay, making more disciples. Okay.
Love that cannot be forced.
Okay, that God doesn't force us to do this, and we want to do to love others as well.
Modeling and mentoring for others.
Okay, to model what Christianity is like. What does God want us to then do with that word? In Deuteronomy 6, he says, "These commands I give you today, they're to be on your heart, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." What does that look like in your life? Oh.
Talking about them everywhere we go.
Okay. Talk about them everywhere you go. Where does that start?
Okay. In your family.
In your family? Okay.
In your heart.
In your heart. What does that mean for it to be in your heart?
You're always thinking about it.
Okay, always thinking about it. As we've talked about this, we see those attacks on our faith, and we're growing in God's Word. He wants us in it. What does baptism have to do with the attacks and growing in our faith? What does baptism mean for you?
It means we're a forgiven child of God, and God always loves us.
Okay, it means you're a forgiven child of God, right? That God always loves you. Who's working through baptism?
The Holy Spirit.
Hey, the Holy Spirit, right? Gives that forgiveness, gives you, makes you that child of God. As you see these attacks, though, what does God want us to do to fight off those attacks? As we continue and know that we're still with a baptized child of God.
His word.
Okay, to stay in his word. Who else does God give you, or how does God strengthen you when you are tempted? Or John?
Jesus and your family, because they probably have gone through the same troubles you're going through.
He tells us others have been tempted, and why is it? How is Jesus important when we know about our temptations? Caleb.
Jesus was tempted.
Hey, Jesus was tempted. How did he handle those temptations? Liberty, you know. What did Jesus do with temptation?
He turned away.
He turned away from them, right? He was perfect in our place, right? So then, knowing this, what are we supposed to do with this gospel message? Who does God call to tell others about Jesus? Bailey?
Christians.
Okay. He calls all Christians, and who are we to share that word with? Okay.
Believers and non-believers.
Okay. And what are we supposed to tell Christians who have drifted away from the faith? What should we share with them? Okay.
That they're forgiven and loved.
Yeah, that they're forgiven and loved, right? So gospel, what can we also share with them?
The law.
The law, right? We can use law and gospel with Christians as well. What is the name of the ministry that God is entrusted with to bring people back? Louis?
The ministry of the keys.
Okay, the ministry of the keys as the church as a whole, and then what ministry for this congregation do we call it?
Barnabas ministry.
The Barnabas ministry. We want to bring people to know Jesus. What happens when people die? What happens when we die? Why is it important to call people back? Or Mitchell?
Believers go to heaven and non-believers go to hell.
Okay, that's why it's so important that we do that. Why do many people believe that?
No.
No, right? What a lot of people believe about the afterlife?
That it's nothing, or it's either just heaven and everyone goes to heaven.
A lot of people believe either there's nothing, right? So it's important.
Or there's reincarnation.
Some people believe in reincarnation, or just everyone's good goes to heaven. What's the only thing that brings us to heaven? Hope.
Faith in Jesus.
Believing in Jesus. So what do the most people know about Christianity, though? What are their views of us? Jonah?
They don't view the good things that we talk about, but okay. They view the bad things, like us being hypocrites about sinning.
Okay. And we're going to... Okay. Same thing, right? That we're... they see us as hypocrites, maybe only talking about the law. So what should we focus on when we're talking to other people? Okay.
The gospel.
The gospel. Okay, good. What does it mean for you that you are a Christian? What's your identity? What does it mean for you after confirmation and going forward?
We're a child of God.
Okay. We're a child of God. Okay, anything else? Got to get a little bit more.
A forgiven child of God.
Forgiven child of God. A redeemed child of God. Forever you are that, and you can share that message with others, right? Very good. We get to share that message. Thank you for doing that. I think it's a good review. It's a good, hopefully, review for all of you as well. They did a great job, and we'll let them go down and put the chairs away. Then we'll do the Apostles' Creed. So we thank you for sharing your faith and sharing the message of the gospel.